grandmother was a very regal woman. She lived her life by Emily Post's books. And she also had 8 children. And so somehow, between having this wonderful love of that which is a love of etiquette, and having this massive household, she somehow was able to maintain an open dinner table policy. She would feed anyone who her kids invited to dinner, always seemed to have enough place settings with the forks on the left and the spoons and the knives on the right. One of her pet peeves, though, was when one of her kids would invite someone to dinner, and the response, instead of being yes or no, was, "Well, what are you having?" To her, you said yes or no, not, it wasn't conditional on what was being served. Another church colleague friend of mine loves to entertain, and her pet peeve along those same lines is when she invites someone and someone asks, "Well, who else is coming?" Again, that makes the invitation feel a little less gracious, doesn't it? Or perhaps it's the response to the invitation that's less gracious. I thought of these entertaining faux pas as I looked at the intersection of our gospel and life today. But even more than it changing the rules about who's coming to dinner, today's scriptures are about changing who and how we invite. Throughout the scriptures, the idea of a banquet or a feast is used as an image of God and the kingdom of God, and an image of God's grace. So today's gospel takes us one step further and asks us to make invitations to the feast, invitations to experience God's love and God's grace. Several years ago, I had a sabbatical, and my project was entitled Pastoring the Spiritual but Not Religious. The idea there is that so many people today claim to believe in God, believe in a higher power, claim to love Jesus, but are not crossing the thresholds of churches. They're spiritual but not religious. My thesis was that Jesus' teachings and wisdom are just as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago, but somehow our delivery system has become irrelevant. For those of you who get squirmy whenever churchy people talk about evangelism, don't tune yourselves out yet, because evangelism has had a makeover. I'm quite sure that the way that we are going to draw people to Union Church is not by cold calling, not by knocking on doors and asking people if they've heard of Jesus or of us. Our gospel today is about Jesus being upset with the religious people of his time. They had established some patterns, some habits, some structures, some rules, and it had declared that this is how you access God. The problem was that these structures excluded some and didn't address the real concerns of others. In short, our gospel reading today is Jesus' response to the question of what do we do with the spiritual but not religious. And his answer is, we invite them to a banquet. We invite them to a feast. He invites the unlikely, those who don't know the rules, those who you wouldn't normally think to invite to a nice party. And he does so in part because those are the folks who are going to accept the invitation. In our day, that's really about finding our voice and then using it. You've heard me quote Reverend Mike Piazza before. He says that a recent study by the conservative Barna Group revealed that the majority of young people believe that the church is judgmental, excluding, sexist, old-fashioned, boring, and homophobic. Whew. Our churches may be none of those things, but how would they know? The most visible and vocal representation of the church, and that being the Christian right, has led people to believe that the church is often deeply incongruent with their values and their worldview. Without a countervailing voice, without our voice, the church soon will live into that reputation fully, because those who do not share those values will have nothing to do with the faith. There are millions, literally millions of people who are looking for a church, looking for a faith that represents their values. And those millions would join us if they knew that what we passionately believe. Our silence has left them spiritually homeless and allowed the Church of Jesus to have a reputation that is not accurate. That reputation that the Barna Group found that young people think the church has, how many people think that that represents this church? Of course not. But that's what people are thinking, because we are not sharing what this church is. The things that our church values, the earth, the excluded, the poor, the sick, the victims of war, our own children and grandchildren, all of those things need our church. They need a church like the church we love. And so we must find our voice for them as much as for our own souls. And so we're kicking off a new campaign at Union. Susan, would you help me with the AV? I'm going to show you, some of you who were on Facebook bright and early this morning saw the video, the first of our We Belong at Union videos. And I have to say that those of you who liked it already, I'm impressed. what we have here is something that is on our church Facebook page and on our website now. Not this. That's pretty, though, isn't it? And I apologize that when we were working on this earlier, it was taking a long time to buffer. So hopefully we'll... Yep, I will. That's all the further it goes. Seriously, it was in great focus right here an hour ago. But you know what? What you're seeing is just a church member. The audio is more interesting. Ah, our tech friend.
There it is.
Oh, isn't he? Yay!
Someone to the rescue.
So if any of you read in your weekly email that we're working on expanding the Wi-Fi and in order to be able to have some in here, and that we need a little bit of cash to do that, here's our demonstration. While that's buffering, I'll tell you a little bit about what this project is. The idea of these videos are that they will give you a way to share a little bit about our church. Now, I know that you're not all on Facebook, but for those of you who are, one of the key strategies to evangelizing in this way is to like, tag, and share. Many of you often like the weekly email or an event that we post, but if you then tag someone who you think would be interested in what you've just liked, and then share it on your wall, that will completely transform who it is that sees Union's posts. If you like, tag, and share. Because this seems to still be buffering, I'm going to do something that pastors almost never do. I invite you to get your phones out. Take a look at your smartphone if you do have Facebook. Take a look at the church's website or at the church's Facebook page, Union Congregational United Church of Christ. This is us. So, Union Congregational United Church of Christ is the church's Facebook page. And then our most recent post, just from this morning, is the video, the Why the Union Project. And so what the post says is, Union Congregational UCC is a pretty amazing congregation. Check out our first two We Belong at Union videos to hear some of what makes us special. Now, if you would like that, tag someone, a friend or family member, a neighbor who you've been telling about Union but who hasn't come, and then share it on your wall. That will do a tremendous good in us getting the word out about who this church is and how it is that we love God and love neighbor through Union. And now, of course, that's nice for this one time, but that's not going to do it, everything that we need. And so I encourage that pattern for anything that you see from the church that you would like to help promote, to like, to tag, and to share. And of course, checking in here is another great way to help people in our community come to know Union. And so when we pass the red pew pads from now on, I hope you'll help me to remember to remind people also to check in, to say, I was here this morning. So many of you check in about where you go to brunch after church. Go ahead and check in before you go to brunch as well. Liking and tagging and sharing won't take the place of talking with people about our church, but it will go a long way to helping people who may not otherwise even know that we're here learn about who Union is and what we're about. Another thing to do, that's the checking in. One of the things that checking in will also help us to do is help people to understand that we're vibrant and alive and current. Well, except for our Wi-Fi, which will happen soon. We'd love to have dozens more videos to share, too. We have just two posted right now. We have another four or five to edit. But we would love to have videos that each of you create as well. Just saying 30 to 60 seconds of what it is that makes Union unique and why it is that you love our church. Those testimonials, sharing those testimonials with the wider community, is the only way that people are going to know who we are and what we're about. Quinn Caldwell is the associate pastor at Old South Church in Boston. And in talking about evangelism, he hit the nail on the head. He says, the reason that your church isn't booming is that you're not doing evangelism. When's the last time you told someone who didn't already know about your commitment to God, about the strength you've gotten from your church, about the goodness that you have found in leading a Christian life. How many people have you invited to join you at church in the last year? When was the last time that your Facebook status had anything to do with your faith? He then says in parentheses, if your answer is sometime in the last month, you're dismissed. Go ahead, you're free to start coffee hour without us. Now, we're worried that we'll be inappropriate. We're worried that we'll sound like our weird cousin or like the neatly dressed man who knocked on our door last week. We're worried that we'll offend someone. We're just worried that people will think we're uncool. To all of these concerns, Caldwell says that he envisions Jesus replying with a long, cool stare, followed by three carefully enunciated words. Deal with it. Nobody is going to whip you the way that they did Paul and many of the other first Christians for inviting them to church, especially if you offer to pay for brunch afterwards. If you're worried about being inappropriate, you almost certainly will not be. And then Caldwell asks, why do you assume that your friends will think you are less cool for going to church instead of them thinking that your church is more cool because you are there? Friends, Jesus' message of hope and justice and reconciliation and inclusion and peace and love and mercy and compassion has not lost one iota of relevance in our age. The world needs our church. The only way that the 53% of Americans who say that they believe in God but aren't practicing are going to hear about our church and about the fact that our church has a long history of fighting racism and bigotry and the ever-growing divide between the haves and the have-nots, that we're about living Christ's compassion. The only way that they're going to hear that is if we tell them. It is up to us. And so one of the projects I hope on that we will work on in the years to come is finding our faith voice and using it. It's time that we invite our friends to be a part of this amazing project of hope, peace, justice, and love. May it be so. Take a look at the video when you're home.